Hello and welcome to Radioactive's April podcast. I'm Anne Kane.
And I'm Sarah Rosenthal. Oh, that's my line.
That is your line.
Okay.
Good afternoon, KUOW.
You're listening to Radioactive.
I'll buzz you in.
Hello, and welcome to Radioactive's April podcast. I'm Anne Kane.
And I'm Sarah Rosenthal.
Oh, it's my line again!
Okay, I've done that twice. Okay. This month's show will feature stories from the newest generation of Radioactivians.
Five Radioactivians spent 10 weeks learning the ropes of radio and working with KUOW editors. You are about to hear their very first stories.
KUOW is just one of the many things that Seattle is known for. We're also known for things like coffee, the tech industry, and of course, rain. But hip-hop is not on that list.
If you go out on the street and ask people what rap artists they know from Seattle...
From Seattle? Not on the spot.
Macklemore?
Present day? What's his name? Oh my gosh. Sir Mix-a-Lot? That's all I can think of.
You may not have heard about the local Seattle rapper, M.E.'s. He's a Garfield graduate with three albums.
Radioactive's Ligeia Washington has his story. M.E.'s, a Seattle native, is using music as a way to put a spotlight on his city's hip-hop scene. He started rapping when he was 7. When he realized he had a gift, he found his purpose.
I feel like my purpose is not to clean bathrooms, and my purpose is not to make video game systems. My purpose is to make music that people can relate to dictate what their mood is going to be. Because I want my music to be the solution to everything.
M.E.'s performs at many local shows, is working on his fourth independent album, is CEO of Slap Did It, his record label, and well, it's a lot of work.
I probably sleep maybe about 3 or 4 hours a day, on average, probably about 3 or 4 hours a day. I might take an hour nap somewhere in between the day, but in order to be in my business, you have to understand, sleep is for people who want to be broke. Sometimes I've been doing the same thing over and over. I remastered the same songs 55 different times. And guess how long it take me? Oh my gosh, about a month. And that struggle is what's going to make it way more appreciative when you get to the end. You'll be like, man, I did that.
Hip hop is part of a tradition where you say who you are and where you're from. But if you rap about being from Seattle, no one really knows what that means.
I just feel like I actually need the identity. I feel like that's what my focus is right now, is just trying to give us a style. Maybe if we all embrace something that was just our own, like it rains out here. You know, you don't ever hear anything about raining anywhere on any song. You could hear Make It Rain. But we should have came out with Make It Rain first, because realistically, it rains out here more than it does there. And if we had this, come on, just give us the exposure. And there's some of us who do know what to do with it, and we'll make the scene what it is supposed to be.
There are some exciting things to do in Seattle, like going to the beach, the Bight, watching the Blue Angels, and a few parades. But as thrilling as these outings are, our city still seems to be missing something.
Fun. Everybody wants to do something, and it's just not going down. Like, we need places to go. We ain't never in the same spot. Where are we at? The Bight. Other than that, where's everybody going to be at? Me and Bill Gates and who else want to slice the pie? Paul Allen. We're going to all sit at a table and, you know, we're going to talk about how we can just get the party scene here doing.
Success through music is difficult when you're from Seattle compared to places like the East Coast or the South. So why doesn't M.E.'s just leave?
Because I feel it wouldn't be authentic. Authenticity is the biggest thing to me in music, because it means more to me that I get respect. You know how many people tell me, I'm moving to Atlanta. I'm out of here. I'm moving. I want to be able to spread to other states and places without being able to sacrifice who I truly am inside, because I don't really want to have to be a traitor. You know, I don't want to have to be a LeBron James to get a championship. Now, I'm going to stay with my team and stay loyal to my team, and we're going to win regardless. You guys don't never have to worry about M.E.'s switching up or going nowhere. And if I do, guess what? I'm taking you guys with me, because it's a tour. It ain't like I'm not coming back. That's all.
No matter where M.E.'s goes, he's representing Seattle. That is something as Seattleites we can all take pride in. It's also something we can all take part in. by creating a movement and promoting our beautiful city through our local artists.
Seattle Times weather report, you read it.
For Radioactive, I'm LaJaya Washington.
I'm Santa Claus. It rained here. Rain cats and dogs. It rained here. I'm Santa Claus. It rained here. Rain cats and dogs.
In late August last year, Macklemore, another Seattle-based rapper, released a single called Thrift Shop. Produced by his longtime friend Ryan Lewis, this song has topped the charts multiple times.
Not only does Thrift Shop have a catchy melody and some creative lyrics, but it's also creating a lot of interest in actual thrift shopping. Radioactive's Varun Dhananjaya looked into this phenomenon.
I remember it was over winter break at Interlake High School in Bellevue, only a couple months after Macklemore put out his single, Thrift Shop. My friend Z messaged me, "Hey, wanna go thrift shopping?"
What?
I was a little surprised. I hadn't painted him as the thrift shopping type, especially since he could usually be found at school wearing an Abercrombie jacket and some designer jeans. As it turned out, he had never been thrift shopping before. I asked Z what moved him to want to go thrift shopping.
It was definitely inspired by the song Thrift Shop by Macklemore. And, you know, the music video looked really fun, and I thought maybe I would try looking for some clothes to wear. Some of my grandparents' clothes, maybe.
No, for real. Ask your grandpa, can I have his hand-me-down?
The music video shows Macklemore and Ryan Lewis wearing ridiculous outfits like onesies and fur coats that they found in thrift shops. Both the song and the music video are getting people to start thinking about thrift shopping. People like Z, who ordinarily wouldn't. I remember coming to school and for the longest time seeing kids in expensive clothes from Nordstrom's and Abercrombie and hearing them talk about how expensive their clothes were. Now I see kids in sweaters, vests, and scarves that they found thrift shopping, and I hear them bragging about how cheap their clothes are. And thrift shops? They're doing their part to draw these new thrift shoppers in. They're taking this thrift shopping craze that Macklemore has fueled and are running with it. Thrift shops are turning lines from the song into slogans like, "We sell your granddad's clothes, you'll look incredible.
I'll wear your granddad's clothes, I look incredible."
But besides the stores, thrift shop is also affecting the people who work in them. Catherine O'Hargan is a supervisor at the Redmond Valley Village.
Anybody who I tell, I work at a thrift store, I work at Value Village, they're like, "Oh, that's so awesome, you work at a thrift store, have you heard Thrift Shop?" And I'm like, "Yes, I've heard Thrift Shop many times, I'll get off work and it'll be playing." I'm just like, "Oh, I feel like I'm at work."
Since the song's release, Catherine's noticed an increase in her coolness. Recently, a lot of high schools near her store had Tolo, a high school dance where girls ask guys.
And a lot of them had like a thrift shop's theme. We helped them find like outfits for their Tolo, which was pretty fun. One of the best parts is building someone an outfit, like just finding things off the floor that would work together to make them something really unique and just really awesome.
I asked Catherine if anything from the thrift shop music video is now popular in her store.
Fur coats.
But this new thrift shopping craze has rubbed some thrift shop connoisseurs the wrong way. My classmate Catherine Fisher, for example, has a different take on the fur coat situation.
You live in Seattle, you don't really need a fur coat, but everyone is like wearing them, so that bothers me a little bit.
Catherine from school is what you might call a thrift shop aficionado.
Today I'm wearing a black and purple and white sweater. I think it's called Fair Isle pattern. I don't really know. Something like that. And I always have funny socks. So today my socks have polka dots on them as well as bows. But they're matching today, which is different.
In a school where everyone's trying to fit in, Catherine sticks out like a pair of flannel zebra jammies at a party. She's developed a unique fashion for herself, which she takes pride in.
I thrift shop because I see a lot of other girls that wear the same thing, you know, in high school, and that's like my worst nightmare.
But recently, since Macklemore's song came out, people aren't just thrift shopping for everyday clothes anymore. As Catherine will tell you, these new thrift shoppers are cramping her style.
I would say that there's probably like a wave of people that, you know, do it because of or in light of the song and people that did it before that. After the song, I think that one thing that really bothered me was that, yeah, people are only looking for costumes, whereas I'm, you know, go and I look for things that I wear just about every day.
They had a broken keyboard, I bought a broken keyboard. I bought a ski blanket, then I bought a kneeboard.
And according to Catherine, this new wave of Macklemore-inspired thrift shoppers has the wrong idea.
I really like Macklemore. I'm a pretty big Macklemore fan. But I also think that, you know, if I was someone who didn't have enough money to buy new clothes, that would probably annoy me. That there's, you know, so many affluent people that now thrift shop because of, you know, one song.
Catherine doesn't listen to a lot of rap, but she does listen to a lot of Macklemore.
I love the fact that he's local. And he definitely does practice what he preaches. The other day, I was in a thrift shop, and there was this really old radio, and it had a note on it that said, this is reserved for Ben Haggerty, which is Macklemore. And I thought that was pretty funny.
However, Catherine is a little skeptical about the lasting impact of thrift shop.
A lot of the, you know, top 100, you know, top songs that are played over and over, people get tired of. So I don't know how long it's going to be such a big craze, like as big of a craze as it is now. But I think they are definitely buying into the song.
For Radioactive, I'm Varun Dhananjaya.
Is that your grandma's coat?
Fresh.
Ill.
Sick.
Dope.
Mobbing.
YOLO.
Bomb.
Swag.
Sketchy.
Slang of the month.
Yeah. School like old English in that brown paper bag. I'm rolling in that same whip that my granddad had. Hello.
This month's slang word is whip. W-H-I-P.
A whip is a fancy and usually expensive car, like the Cadillac that Macklemore just mentioned. Maybe you didn't catch it. Let's hear it again and slow it down. Cause we can do that!
I'm rolling in that same whip that my granddad had. Hello!
Macklemore can probably afford to go anywhere he wants,
but most people aren't quite that lucky.
Washington State is considering putting tolls on the I-90 bridge that connects Seattle to Mercer Island.
Radioactive's Riley Gutman talked with students at Mercer Island High to see how the tolls will affect them.
Giselle Goska and Laura Harrison are two high school seniors who have been going to the Mercer Island School District for quite a while.
I've been going here since fifth grade.
I've been going here since seventh grade.
Mercer Islanders would say they both live off-island, in Seattle.
I live in Columbia City.
I live in Seward Park.
Why Mercer Island High School, though?
Well, my dad was the principal, so I went here because of that.
It's just a better school district on Mercer Island versus public schools in Seattle.
Even though they live in Seattle, they still have a significant connection to the island.
I think we've had a lot of fun going to, like, games and events from the high school, like dances and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, I play soccer here, so I think that's been a really good experience playing soccer games.
So why does it matter if a toll was in place across the I-90 bridge to the island? Suddenly, an education that's supposed to be free has a daily cost. Let's say you paid $3.49 to get across the I-90 bridge to Mercer Island. Multiply that by a 180-day school year, then by two in order to get on and off the island. For students like Lauren Giselle, that toll would have cost them a little more than $5,000 over the course of their high school careers. How would you explain that to your parents?
I would feel pretty guilty, especially because school is something that should be free for everyone, and it's like an important part of just everything. So I think it'd be pretty difficult if you have to pay $5,000 just to go to school every day.
And that's based off current tolling rates on 520. I asked John Hanlon from NoToll990.com what future tolls on I-90 might be.
The best guess is that it would be parity with the 520 projections. So if you run that out to 2016, which is what the state has suggested would be the start of tolling on I-90 if it proceeds, it would be around $4.34, depends on how you do the math exactly, is what the toll in 2016 will be on 520 at peak.
This year, 23 off-island students are enrolled at Mercer Island High School. That seemed like a pretty good deal for their families. But parents looking for schools across the I-90 bridge are going to have to factor in a new cost.
I feel like a lot of people go here to get the education that they offer, and it's also free. But I feel like $5,000, which you wouldn't be paying like just to go across the bridge, is pretty ridiculous.
John Hanlon says that the issue of tolling doesn't just concern Mercer Islanders.
Mercer Island's part of the region, and so it's really an inequality on the people that participate on and off the island, you know, take part in things in their life, whether that be faith or school or whatever.
Giselle and Laura represent the end of an era. Commuting across I-90 for school likely won't be free anymore, and officials in the Mercer Island School District have talked about ending admission for off-island students due to budget concerns. For Radioactive, I'm Riley Gutman.
These next stories are about things that you can't control but have to overcome. Nigisti Halmariam came to the United States from Sudan and has been here for over 20 years. She has two kids, a stable job, and a red Honda outside her three-bedroom apartment.
For more than a decade, she's been employed at the University of Washington. But life wasn't always peaceful for her. Her son and Radioactivian Yafiet Bezabe talked with her about her journey.
My mom was born in Ethiopia, and life in Tigray, the northern province of the country, was disrupted by civil war in the 1980s. It got to the point that her life was constantly threatened. In Ethiopia, my mom was faced with bad choices. If she stayed in her native city, she could die of an attack. And the only other choice was to join the local militia.
And the country, the airplane is dropped, bombs in the cities and everywhere. So there's no safe to live there either. And I decided just to leave the city. I can just go somewhere else in peace and work and help my family. And I decided to leave to Sudan.
She wanted peace and did everything she could to find a place to live without fear. She managed to get help from friends and family to escape to Sudan. The search for stability did not end after fleeing Ethiopia. As a foreigner in Sudan, fear lived on.
Once you got there, what was it like?
Yeah, at Sudan, when I get inside the border, it was so rough. A lot of people, the Sudan police took them to jail because we don't look like Sudanian. We don't look like, we don't work as a Sudan. We don't know the language.
In Sudan, she lived in constant fear of being deported or jailed. One day, she received a letter from her brother in America and made up her mind to do anything she could to get there. She had to establish constant contact with her brother and obtain sponsorship with the help of the IRS. It was a process that took a long time, and she waited.
So I waited for 3 years working and like a maid in rich people's house. You clean, you wash and everything. They pay you a little money.
Finally, she was able to make it to the U.S., but her journey did not end there. She arrived without any resources or ability to assimilate and had to adjust rapidly to a new culture.
The IRS was help us a little bit money for clothes that time and the welfare. When he came in first, we didn't have anything, so the welfare helped us to food stamp and a little money for clothes.
She went to classes to improve her English and was able to use those skills to get a job in Seattle.
After that, I managed to find a job at Denny's as a hostess. It was really hard and I cannot understand what they say. They don't understand what I said. But I was working hard. I don't want them to fire me. So I was doing whatever they told me.
She was working and living in peace for the first time in many years. She even saved a little money and bought a car.
Our first car was a Mitsubishi car. And
Mitsubishi?
Mitsubishi. And we
Say that again.
To Nigisti, the United States was a different world without fear and anxiety.
When I get to America, I can walk safely. I have the freedom. And nobody was stopping me, asking me where I'm from or take me to jail.
Now, my mom is optimistic about her future and the future of her kids. She hopes that the United States may finally be the answer to her search for peace.
I'm working hard now and I try my best to provide food for my kids and my kids can have the life I never had before as a childhood. Because as a lady, I don't enjoy my teenager life because I was just always just running from city to city, from country to country. So I'm happy and glad that I came to America. Finally, this is my home and my kids have a better life than I had.
Okay, do you have anything you want to say? Anything you want to add?
What I want to add is for you, we go through this all things, then you guys are, you have to appreciate it what you have right now and be a better person, a good person for yourself and for the country. Because this is your home, this is your country, and America doing a lot of things for us and for you. So I want you to be appreciated what you have and be a better person.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
For Radioactive, I'm Yafiat Bazabe.
Our final story for you is from Radioactivian Nalwin Dalil.
One of her fellow students at Inglemoor High School is an active participant in her church, but that wasn't always the case.
Alyssa Cruz was born in a Roman Catholic family, but never believed that religion was for her. Even as a child, she felt forced and did not have the same relationship with God that her parents had.
It really didn't mean anything to me. I was just going through the motions.
But then, a rare disease changed her life. Nalwin has the story.
One day in eighth grade, Alyssa Cruz noticed something strange.
I was in the middle of a basketball season, and I was putting my hair up, and I noticed that there was this windy, bald patch on the top right of my head. And it looked like it was completely smooth, and I wondered what had happened because it didn't look like someone just cut it off while I was sleeping.
When she saw this, Alyssa went home and showed her parents. They took her to 10 different doctors until she found the one that could help her. The doctor diagnosed her with alopecia universalis. This condition causes Alyssa to lose all the hair on her body, including her arms, her legs, her eyebrows, and even her eyelashes. But it doesn't cause her any other kind of harm. Alyssa's scalp was injected with steroids, and the doctors suggested different creams that might help her grow her hair back. When these didn't work as planned, Alyssa decided to work on her inner self, and then her outer self. Doctors told her that her thick black hair would never grow back again. Alyssa had a hard time accepting this and tried to lean on her best friend for support. But the person she thought was her best friend wasn't as responsive as she thought she would be.
But she was a religious person and she really believed in God. So I said, hey, if you're not going to help me, then maybe the person you talk to is going to help me. And I guess throughout this hair thing, I was like, why is this happening to me? And I turned to God and like asking him why this was happening to me.
Around this time, Alyssa liked a boy. And one day he invited her to go to church with him. Alyssa accepted and went. She was amazed that the people there could believe in something they had no concrete proof really exists. She thought maybe it could be a place where she could find answers, and decided to become more involved. She played in the worship band, went to the Bible camp, and participated in the prayer groups.
At church, I'm just in church. There's nothing else. It's just me and it's God and sharing my faith with all the other people who feel the same way.
The first day Alyssa came to school with a bald head, her friends were shocked. Most of them had never seen a girl so young with such a bald head. But once they saw how confident she was and how she walked around school as if nothing happened, they felt differently.
I was like really impressed. I don't know a lot of people that can do that, but she has a good head for it.
I don't know, like hair is like a really simple thing, but it is like such a big part of who you are. And I just thought like how like strong she was to like be able to do that.
And I just remember being really impressed how she was able to just like put her worries aside and just like spend a weekend in fellowship.
Like she's so amazing and she kind of, you know, in her words, she rocks her bald.
When Alyssa walks around with her bald head, people often assume she has cancer. This is really annoying to her. But her church and her faith help her deal with this and not let it get to her. When homecoming came around to help her feel more comfortable, Alyssa wore a wig while all the other girls did their hair. She wants to make people feel comfortable around her. So to lighten the mood, she plays tricks on people and brings them into her world.
When I first meet people, you know, I'm usually wearing my hair, but then if it gets hot, I'd like take it off and people are like, what? Like it just confuses them kind of. And sometimes I hide it in weird places and like hang it on the wall. And so people like wake up in the morning and they see like just this hair on the wall. It's like pretty freaky.
Alyssa isn't shy about what's happening to her and encourages people to ask questions.
I love it when people ask me what's really going on instead of making assumptions about what's going on and then feeling sorry for me.
Alyssa's newfound acceptance sometimes worries her family because they think maybe she isn't dealing with it.
They sent me to a therapist to see if I was in denial about my disease because my parents thought I was like too passive about it. And when they asked my parents to leave the room, he said, do you think you have this disease? And I was like, yeah, of course I do. And he's like, well, why aren't you sad about it? I said, why do I have to be sad about it? Like, I have so much more going on. And, you know, like, All this does is make me lose my hair. I'm not a different person.
Today, Alyssa walks around Inglemore High School proud and confidently.
The first time I saw it, I said, okay, I have a choice. I can either let this make me really sad, or I can make myself really happy from this. And it's not like there weren't bad days. Of course, there were bad days. But what I realized is that the only person that I need to be better than was the person I was yesterday. Because honestly, this isn't something you should pity me for. Like, I consider this one of the greatest experiences that have ever happened to me.
Alyssa's hair defied all odds and has even grown back into a little pixie cut, a far cry from her old bald head. Still, she lives every day knowing that her hair could fall out from one day to the next, and she's fine with that, continuing to rock her bald. For Radioactive, I'm Nalwyn DeLeal. I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I take you just the way you are. Major props to our newest Radioactivians, Ligeia Washington, Varun Dhananjaya, Riley Gutman, Yafiet Bezabeth, and Nalwyn DeLeal.
Nice job, guys.
Also, thank you to our editors Lila Katayev and Jenny Asarno. We couldn't do it without you.
And thank you to all the listeners out there for supporting us and encouraging us to continue making great radio.
To hear more of our work, check us out at kuow.org/radioactive or on Facebook under Radioactive Youth Media.
For Radioactive, I'm Ann Kane.
And I'm Sarah Rosenthal. Thanks for listening.